I'm living a best life.
Yes.
Because I'm living a blessed life.
Yes,
I'm victorious. So, well, I'm going through a struggle right now. You need to learn how to see yourself on the other side of the struggle. I need to learn how to look with faith, with eyes of faith, and say, yeah, I may be going through it right now, but I know that when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I see on the other side of the struggle, and I'm already victorious. I know as long as I remain on his side, he's going to bring me through. And no matter the trial, no matter the situation, if I'll just stay in step with my Savior, guess what? He's going to lead me through, and on the other side, I'm going to look back and laugh and say, hey, you thought you had me, devil. You thought the circumstance was going to get me. It only made me stronger, and now I'm more assured than ever of whose side I'm on.
Hallelujah.
I'm victorious. I am victorious. I'm living the best life. Woo. Hallelujah. You believe you're living a blessed life? You believe that what you're doing and serving the Lord is worth it? Hallelujah. I assure you that if you stay the course, if you fight a good fight, if you finish, when you get on the other side, you will look back with no regrets. You will look back and say, it was worth every long trial. It was worth every mile, every situation, every circumstance, because I'm here and I'm victorious. Wasn't always easy, but it was worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you for standing. If you would grab your Bibles, turn them with me to Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 5. Begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read all the way down through verse number 11. Luke chapter 5. I want to say publicly thank you to all of those who stepped in, and while my family and I were out of town on vacation, it's so good to know that there are good men and women here filling in, and I want to say thank you Brother Tom Kreger, Brother James White, Brother Gary Day, Brother Bill Kellum, as they did lion's share of leading and carrying the services for the speaking and the music. And I just want to say how thankful I am as pastor to know that while I am away, that we're not going to miss a beat. Things are going to happen, and the church is going forward. It's not my church, it's his church. Amen? So I thank you for that. Luke chapter number 5, in reading verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Thought about that. Bible says the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Sometimes it's hard to get people to come to the front of the church to hear the word of God. The Bible says the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. probably the greatest catch of their life as fishermen. The Bible says that there were so many fish that the boats began to sink. I've been on a few fishing trips, none nearly that successful. The Bible says that boats began to sink. But when they brought the ships to land, the Bible says that what had happened, what they had experienced, compelled them so much that they forsook all, followed after Jesus. They were fishermen by trade. Can you imagine the amount of profit they left on the shores of Lake Gennesaret that day? Can you imagine what that would have done for themselves and their families in the sense of probably a small fortune? The Bible says they forsook all, follow after him. I want to draw your attention to verse number four. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I speak to you upon this subject this morning. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth, God. Lord, I am but a vessel of your choosing, God, to impart unto your people what you have given unto me. Lord, I pray that every word would be ushered by your Spirit, God, that it would speak to the heart and the mind. Lord, that we would understand the significance of this story, God, that we would see within the pages of this holy writ how we as your people can follow after you, then at your bidding, God, and at your word, God, follow what you would have us to do, God, to abandon, God, the ways of ourselves, God, to abandon, God, what popular thought might be, Lord, and to follow after your word. God, for in doing so, God, we will reap a harvest. In doing so, God, we will see souls saved, God, because we are willing to follow after you and your word and do what you have asked us to do. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Believe it to be done. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Launch out into the deep. As we read the story this morning and we began to look at the scriptures that describe the scene, the Bible lets us know that Jesus is teaching, Jesus is preaching, and so many were there, the Bible says, that they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. As he stood by the lake and so close they were to him in proximity that Jesus thought it proper that maybe he should get into a boat and thrust out a little from the land. And so he turns to Simon. He turns to this man who had been fishing, the Bible says, all night, who was now at present washing the net, who had given up for this day and at this point in time and had decided that it wasn't good fishing. And so he and his partners, James and John, had decided that there was no more fishing to be done. And so they were even out of their boats and they were washing their nets. But Jesus, the Bible says, prayed Simon, let me in the ship and thrust out a little bit from the land and let me teach the people. And so as he taught, we're not really sure exactly what Jesus taught on that day, but as Jesus began to teach and as Jesus went through the process of preaching the word of God, evidently Simon stayed around. Evidently Simon was still there. We don't know if he was still in the ship or whether he went back to washing the nets. It seems as though he stayed in the ship and listened to the teaching of Jesus. But the Bible says that after he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Jesus said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter, in his reply, he's being respectful. Peter understands that Jesus is a rabbi, or he is a leader. He understands by his teaching and by his following that Jesus is leading people. And so respectfully, he turns to him and says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Jesus, I mean no disrespect. I understand you are asking me to do something that I do on a regular basis. I fish. I'm a fisherman.
But you need to understand, we've toiled all night, and we don't have anything. We have nothing. Matter of fact, we've been washing our nets. We've been going through the process of putting things away because we just understand it's not a good day for fishing. And so we're no longer gonna fish. And so respectfully, Master, you need to understand that we've toiled all night. We're done with this trip. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. You see, Peter had an understanding. Peter understood it's really not convenient what you're asking me to do. It's really not something that I want to do. We toiled all night and yet we don't have anything. But nevertheless, at thy word, there's something about your teaching. There's something about the way that the people are following you. There's something about the words that you have said. And even though I recognize you're not a fisherman, even though I recognize you're a rabbi, you're a master, you're a teacher, even though I don't think you know what you're talking about. I'm the fisherman here. I do the fishing stuff and you do the preaching stuff. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. I'll take you at your word. I'll do it. It's not inconvenient. We need to understand that many times following the voice of God and heeding the word of God, it's not convenient. It's even after we've struggled ourselves and even after we spent a lot of time and effort trying to do something and we failed miserably. We've toiled all night and we have nothing. But if we would understand that his word supersedes our thoughts and his word supersedes our understanding and our way of doing things, and even though we think we know ourselves, and even though we think we know the circumstance, we need to understand he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows the circumstance better than we do. And we need to have the mindset that Simon Peter has said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. It's not convenient. It's not something I really want to do. I've already spent the time and putting things away and washing the nets and packing things up. But if you say so, I have faith in you and I trust you. I'll follow your word and I'll do what you're asking me to do. I think maybe it was a test. I think maybe it was something that Jesus was asking of Simon. Will he follow me? Will he, even though it doesn't compare with his understanding of fishing, even though it's something that seems kind of absurd given the situation, will he follow my word? Will he listen to me and what I'm having to say? He's already obliged me by casting off a little bit from the land so that I can teach from his boat. Will he be willing to now allow me to tread on his territory? Will he be willing to allow me to speak into his life as a fisherman, even though he thinks I don't know anything about fishing? Launch out into the deep, Simon. Let down your net for a draught. Just give it a try. We used to sing an old song of the church. When you've tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. No, I understand. I don't want people to try everything. I'd rather them just go ahead and believe that God's word is right. But there are some people that in their stubbornness and in their own willingness to try to find their own way and in the way that seemeth right unto them, they try and they try and they try and they try. And I want to stand before them and say, hey, listen, even if you've tried everything else, you need to understand there's one more thing you need to try. There's a word that needs to come forward. You need to oblige and you need to hear. Try Jesus. I know it's not convenient, and I know it's going to cost you something, and I know it may have some sacrifice, and it may have some extra work involved, but if you'll just follow the word of the Lord, if you'll just listen to what he's trying to say unto you, and you'll be obedient, you'll come to find out that his way is the right way. Come home. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, Simon. Master, we toiled all night and we've got nothing. It's not convenient, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. So we understand the story. They go out into the deep and they do. They follow the word of the Lord and Simon begins to haul in the nets. And all of a sudden, the Bible says they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. Never before had he had a haul like this. Never before had he seen something of this nature. And this master, this teacher that spoke from his boat, told him to launch out into the deep and let down his nets. We don't know exactly what fish they were going for, but evidently the implication was, Simon, you've been fishing too shallow. Simon, you're not where the fish are. There's also something that I begin to think, you know, here as a man, Jesus Christ, he had a voice. But as God, he also had a voice. Could it not be that the same voice that spoke fish into existence at creation was now speaking? And though fish may have been all over that lake at different very points and places within that lake, when Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, all of a sudden the same voice which spoke those fish into existence now commanded them where they needed to be. And now all of a sudden you need to understand, Peter, where you, I've already said it, they're out in the deep. You got to be willing to stop fishing so shallow. You got to be willing to take a chance. You got to be willing to cast off from the shore a little bit. There's got to be some risk involved here, Simon. You've got to be willing to, at my word, do what I'm telling you to do, because you need to understand that at my word, those fish that are spoken to existence, that were spoken to existence, are now congregating at where I've said they should be, and they're in the deep. Bible says that when they did so, they hauled in so many fish that their nets began to break. I begin to think about this. It's often in our walk and relationship with God that he allows us to experience manifold failure. We've toiled all night and we have nothing. He allows us, in his mercy and his grace, he is allowing us to do things our own way, to try and try and try. Because in doing so and being aware of our own failure, we now can see that success is in him. Now as he began to haul in the nets and the nets begin to break, he didn't regret following his word. He didn't regret heeding the voice of God. He didn't regret doing what Jesus had asked him to do. He now realized, hey, this guy's not just some rabbi, just some mad. This guy, there's something special about this gentleman. There's something special about what he's asking me to do. And because I've followed him and because I've done what's not convenient, but what he's asked me to do now, it's the greatest catch of my life. The Bible says, now think about this. Peter, when he acknowledged Jesus, he said, I will let down the net. I'll do it. But evidently, Peter had some level of leadership in his life, and especially of those of James and John, where when he decided that he was going to follow the word of God, that they decided they were going to follow Peter. Because the Bible says in verse number 6 that they. Peter said, I will. But then verse number 6 says, they. Evidently, there was some leadership quality in Simon Peter. Evidently, there was something maybe he didn't even understand, but God saw and God knew in his life that said, hey, if you'll follow me, there's going to be those that will follow you. We need to understand that God sees things in us that we don't even see in ourselves. There's qualities that are inside of us that we may not even be aware of, but if we'll be willing to launch out into the deep, if we're willing to follow the voice of God, guess what? All of a sudden, those, we may just decide to do it for ourselves. Yes, I'll let down the net. I'll follow your word. But all of a sudden, we see family and friends and those we have influence over all of a sudden say, yeah, I know it's inconvenient. I know we've already washed the nets, but Peter, if you're going to do it, then I'm going to do it. I'll follow in step with you, and I'll let down the net as well. They all launched out into the deep. They were all willing. Peter individually and they collectively, they were all willing to take a risk. They were all willing to launch out into the deep and let down nets. See, you and I as people of God, you and I as those that are endeavoring to follow the will of God in our lives, we need to understand that we will not find much success in playing it safe. Many of you know my family and I last couple weeks had opportunity to be in Florida vacationing, and part of that time we were down in an area called Sarasota. It's a very popular area. It's a beach area. It's a vacation destination, if you will. There's condos and all that other stuff, that touristy place and houses for rent and all that wonderful stuff. And I had the opportunity to go out with my father-in-law and do a little deep sea fishing. Well, I say deep sea. We weren't miles and miles out. We were a few miles out. And I began to think about some things, and the Lord began to speak to me about some things. I noticed that as you were near the shore, there's many people. The further you go out, the less there are. I thought to myself, that's by implication, Jesus is saying, Simon, you, You got to be willing to launch out into the deep. You can't stay here by the shore with everybody else. If you really want to be successful in what I'm asking you to do, you got to be willing to take risks. You got to be willing to go where other people aren't willing to go. You've got to be willing to leave the shore where there are thousands that will stay along the shoreline, and they'll frolic in the shallows, and they'll play along the shoreline. But God's looking for those that are willing to launch out into the deep. God's looking for those who are willing to take a risk and say, "Hey, I follow you at your word, Lord." And while others may remain along the shore, and while there's scores and there's all, it's popular to stay up near the beach, but I want to go out into the deep. I want to follow your will and your way. I realized a couple other things on that fishing trip, and as I was out there and surrounded by water, and began to think, you know, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, there were men who were willing to get aboard ships, and without the luxury of present-day navigation, without global positioning systems, without things that would show you where you are, longitude and latitude, these men would brave the open water. They would leave land far behind, and they would go out into the deep. Many times, the only thing that they had to navigate by, the only thing that gave them a point of reference, the only thing that they could rely on to know where they were what was in the heavens. All the sea, the surface, all looked the same. They couldn't navigate compared to by what was on the surface. They had to look to the heavens. They had to plot their coordinates according to the stars. And even as we there with our technology, I realized we're out here far enough that we've got to rely on the instruments. We've got to rely on the GPS to tell us where we are and what direction we're headed. And how could it be that when God says, "Hey, if you really want to catch men, if you really want to be a fisher of men, you've got to get out to where you got to fully rely on me. You've got to get out where the only communication you have is with the heavens, where you're able to plot your course according to the word of God. It's not based upon what other people say. It's not based upon what's on the surface, but it's on communication with the heavens." Are you willing to launch out in the deep? Are you willing to put it at risk? Are you willing to get out there where it's a little bit uncomfortable? I thought at one point, wow, I hope the motor starts back up, because that's a long swim. Well, I jog a little bit, and I try to stay healthy. I don't know that a 10-mile swim back to shore is something I'm willing to do. But when we crank the motor back up, you know what? We didn't look on the horizon for our point of reference. But you know what we did? We looked upon the instruments, would say, according to what was corresponding with the heavens, according to what was positioning with what was in the heavens, it let us know, here's where you are and here's where you need to go. Is it not the same way when we're willing to get out from the shore, when we're willing to launch out into the deep and say, "God, I'm going to fully rely on you. My communication is going to be with the heavens, and I'll follow what you want me to do, and I'll go where you want me to go. You'll show me where I'm at, and you'll show me where you want me to be." I'm willing to launch out into the deep. I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to cast off. It's not convenient. It's not something that's necessarily the point in time desirable. But if I'm willing to do so, if I'm willing to launch out, if I'm willing to say, "God, it's your way, not my way. God, it's what you want to do." I may think I know better than you, but I've realized a long time ago I don't know better than you. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and your ways are higher than my ways. So I'll launch out. I'll have faith. I'll respond in faith. And the Bible says that because they did so, because they were willing to follow the word of the Lord, because they were willing to do those things which are not convenient, because they were willing to follow the teachings of this man, they had such a great haul that their nets break. Somehow, some way, they struggled back to land with the catch. Boats beginning to sink and nets breaking, they made their way back to land. And the Bible says, and at that point, they forsook all and followed after him. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Oceanographers, marine biologists tell us
And in all our scientific discovery and all our knowledge of the universe, all that we know, all that we've learned, they tell us that we know more about outer space and the universe than we know about the depths of the ocean. They say that there are thousands, their estimation and their educated guesses, there are thousands of undiscovered species that exist in the depths of the ocean. Some places miles deep. Special equipment is necessary in order to get there. They tell us that at those depths, thousands of fathoms, that special fish and animals exist. Things that to the human eye would be unbelievable. Luminescent fish that's complete and utter darkness. And no light reaches the bottom, but they take these instruments down where tons and tons of pressure exist. And fish swim leisurely. Thought about it this way. One of the ways I know that I'm willing to venture into the deep is when I'm willing to deal with the pressure. And if I'm willing to launch out into the deep and I'm willing to deal with the pressure, guess what? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's not just talking about heaven. There are depths in the wisdom and knowledge of God. There are things that are available to you and I if we're but willing to launch out into the deep. Oh, I can remain along the shore and I can have experiences and I may win somebody here and somebody there, but if I really want to draw the fish, if I really want to be a fisher of men, if I really want to do what God has called me to do, I've got to be willing to launch out into the deep. I've got to be willing to fully rely upon God. I've got to be willing to cast off from the coast of my carnality and say, no, I won't depend upon that. There are a lot of churches, a lot of ministers that think that they're building congregations by compromising, but they're just keeping them all near the coastline. They have congregations in the multiple of thousands, but there's no spiritual depth. I want to launch out into the deep. I want to fully rely upon God. Maybe it's just me, but I want to see some things that I've never seen before. I want to get out where it's uncomfortable, where it's not convenient. Why? Because I want a great draw to fish. I want it to be that the nets break, that the doors won't hold them. Because there's people who are willing to be fishers of men. There's people who are willing to cast off, launch out into the deep and let down the net. We can keep fishing like we've always been fishing, but the reality is it's probably futile. We won't catch very many, but if we're willing to add His word, follow His will and follow His way. I thought to myself, I'm 37 years of age and this is the only life I've known. I've grown up in ministry, but I've got to be willing to say, God, whatever you're asking me to do, whatever you're calling me to do, though I may think I know what works, God, help me to be open to what your Spirit says. Help me to be open to where you're leading and where you're calling, because I want a great draw of fishes. You've called me to be a fisher of men, and you need to understand that no matter where you are in your walking relationship with God, He's called you to be a witness. He's called you to be a fisher of men. He's called you. We're all called. We're all of us called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Why? So that we can help others, so that we can be fishers of men, so that we can say, hey,
I'm encouraging you to do as I did. One day I did what was not convenient. One day I was willing to fully rely upon God. One day I was willing to launch out into the deep. God has blessed me, and God has kept me. And has it always been easy? No, but guess what? I understand and I know that if I'm willing to follow His word, I'm willing to launch out into the deep, that guess what? There will always be plenty in my life. God will always provide. God will always make a way. Maybe you're here this morning and you've lived for God a long time. I encourage you, be willing to take risks. Be willing to stretch your faith. Be willing to launch out into the deep. Let down the net. I'm going to say it this way. When you look at this world and you look the sin that abounds, you look at all the baggage, all the fragmented families, broken homes, when you look at all the addictions, the immorality, they're deep. They're deep. My superficiality, my shallowness in the spirit, it's not going to be enough to catch them. I've got to be willing to go deep. Because the depths of this world and sin, there has to be a direct correlation with the people of God willing to go deep in Him. We won't catch Him with compromise. We won't really catch Him with a show. We won't really catch Him with a program. No, we'll catch Him with depths in the Spirit of God. We'll catch Him with those who are willing to go deep in the Holy Ghost, who are willing to experience what God would have to experience, those who are willing to launch out into the deep and let down the net, where I have to fully rely upon God, because in my own mind and in my own understanding, I don't know how to help them but turn them to Jesus and say, listen, take a risk. Try Jesus. Hey, I'm willing to tell you this. I don't have all the answers for you, but I know who does. And together let's launch out. Together let's respond in faith. And together let's see what God has for us.
Yes, Jesus.
All over this house, these altars are open if you want to respond in that way. But I would that everyone under the sound of my voice would respond in some way, would offer themselves, say, Lord, help me to be willing. Help me to have the mindset of Simon Peter, of James and John. Help me, Lord, not to balk at your word. Help me not to resist. Help me to launch out into the deep. Others may choose to remain in the shallows. Others may choose to remain where it's comfortable, where it's convenient, Lord. But I don't want to be one of those who remains in the shallows, Lord. Help me to launch out into the deep and let down the
net.
They're deep in addiction. They're deep in immorality. They're deep. Help me to get rid of superficiality, God. Help me to get rid of shallowness in the spirit, God. Help me to respond in faith, God. To launch out into the deep and let down the net. I know it's not convenient. I know that I've been discouraged because I've been toiling, God, and I've got nothing. I know, God. I've almost given up. I'm washing the net. I'm saying there's no fish here. Oh, God, help me. Help me to launch out into the deep. That's where they are. Help me not to keep looking on the surface for my point of reference, God. Help me to look to the heavens, God. Help me to spend time in prayer, getting my communication from you. To go where you lead, God. I won't compare myself among others, God. No, that's foolish. I'll compare myself to you, God.
Beyond the open door.
Choose to remain behind. mind, Lord, but I'll launch out into the deep. I'll get out where it's uncomfortable. I'll get out where there's risk involved, God. But if you launch out in the deep, there's trouble that awaits you. You need to be careful. There's danger out of the deep. You need to know who my captain is. You need to know Jesus is on the boat. And as long as he's on the boat, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be safe. And where you're trying not to convince me, where you're trying to convince me not to go, that's where the great drought fish is.
Lay it all down again.
Bible says that when they were in the middle of the sea, they saw Jesus walking upon the water. Because Peter was willing to go into the deep. When Jesus first called him, he was willing to step out of the boat in deep waters. When Jesus called him, and Peter walked on water. The deep is where the miracles happen.
Nothing else could take your place.
The deep is where your mind is blown, where God responds in such a way that it's undeniably
here.
Lord, I want stories. I want experiences. Spiritual experiences, spiritual encounters. God, I want deep things, Lord. And I won't find them here on the shore. I've got to get out of the middle. I've got to get in over my head. I've got to get in where I can't touch. I've got to get to the deep.
Oh,
thank you for your word. It challenges us. Let it be reminded that deep calleth unto deep. You're looking for those who are willing to sacrifice, those who are willing to take the risk, those willing to launch out into the deep and let down the net. Thank you, Jesus. Now, one more time, can you lift your hands unto the Lord? Lord, help me to be willing. At your word, God, to follow you. Lord, as you impress upon my heart, God, to take steps out of the shallows, God. As you call unto me, God, to greater depth than you, Lord, help me to respond. Help me in faith be willing to take the risk, knowing that if you're there, it's not really much risk at all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. It challenges us. It reminds us what it takes to truly be a fisher of men and women. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Go with us from this service, God. Let these words remain in the heart and mind, God. Let reflection come, Lord, as we go from this place, God. Let us be willing to launch out into the deep. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you for being in service this morning. If you have opportunity to meet with us tonight at 6:30 for our evening worship service, we encourage you to do so. Where once again, we celebrate our service to God. Launching out where you would have us to go. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.